these troubled times, love will prevail.
Welcome to our first recording of The Night Is Over.
In these troubled times, love will prevail. Times of refreshing, a time of much travail.
Right now we're posted up in front of the Mate Factor in Manitou Springs, Colorado. If you've ever been to Manitou Springs, or perhaps you live nearby, you would know that the Mate Factor is right on Manitou Avenue, downtown Manitou Springs. And we have a cafe, the Mate Factor, right there at the corner of Manitou Avenue and Ruxton, at the roundabout in Manitou Springs. Every week we have a discussion that takes place here at the Mate Factor, and there's so much that we want to talk about, and we want to welcome you into that conversation. We actually want to invite you to come out here and participate in these discussions. So this is the beginning of it. So we don't really know what it's going to look like. We don't know how it's going to develop. Hi. Yeah, so we're recording a podcast. People are going to walk by and they're going to ask what we're doing because we're here on one of our tables. We got two microphones set up. And so I'm here with Kaifa, and my name is Kareem. And we are here to just meet people and invite you to come out and be one of those people that we meet and have a conversation about the things that are close to your heart. And we want to talk about the things that are close to our heart. That's why it's called an open forum. It's a completely open forum, open topic. You come and you say, hey, this is what I want to talk about. And then we'll be like, okay, yeah. Hey, and this is what we want to talk about. And you'd be like, you have an opportunity to respond, conversation, get to know one another.
Big part of getting to know people is finding common ground. Because really, it's hard for anything of depth to land on your heart if there's not a relationship for it to land on. So meeting people where they're at, establishing common ground, you can build from there. Not many people want to just open up right off the bat. Some, really, people can be very guarded, but when you can get past that through developing a friendship, through actual relationships, it's where you really get to know the depth of somebody.
A little bit about who we are. We are disciples of the Son of God, and we come from all different backgrounds, and we simply want to follow the Son of God and the words he spoke and his teachings. We want to keep his word and we want to live the life that he spoke to his disciples. And so we are disciples ourselves. We ourselves are disciples of the Son of God. As such, we're learning. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. They learn from their master how to become just like him. And so we come, again, from every background, every walk of life. And one thing we all had in common is we were disgruntled with the way things were in our life. We saw the bad fruit of the way that we had lived our own life. Some of us were Christians before we came, some of us weren't. Some of us were New Age seekers, some of us were mystics, some of us were complete non-believers of every kind. Some of us were educated and some of us weren't. But there's a few thousand of us across the world at this point who have one thing in common. We believe that it's our Father who puts something in our heart that all we want to do is love. And somehow we find that our own volition, our own attempts, our own endeavors to love have always just come up short, very short. So we're those who saw that our own lives were bearing bad fruit, and most of us ended up at some point, a critical juncture in our lives, we like cried out to our Creator. We said, there's got to be more that we're living for. There's got to be something more worth living for. Like, what's the point of all of this? What's the point of my life? What's the point of the world? What's truth? What's real? What's false? What's a lie? We found ourselves in an illusion, and we started to be able to see that somehow something wasn't right. And at the top of the list of what wasn't right was the way we were living our own lives. We saw a lot of bad fruit in our own lives. And okay, so now, a little bit about who we are now, is that we live together. Everyone in our place, all of us as disciples of the Son of God, we live together in community. And we find that in the Bible, it's recorded that the first believers did the same thing. They lived together in community. They lived together and shared all things in common. And that's to fulfill the word that his disciples would love one another and they would be together. Their unity and their love for one another would prove to the world that they were true disciples of the true Son of God. And we didn't necessarily know any of that. Like, I can say personally, that wasn't on my radar. I wasn't searching for true believers in the Son of God. That's not what I was searching for. Some people were. Some people weren't really searching for anything in particular, other than they were kind of at the end of their rope. They knew that their own thing wasn't really working out, but we found that there was a place where people were together loving one another. And when we found a place where people were together loving one another, that's what drew us. We weren't drawn by doctrine. We weren't drawn by some kind of religious belief. We were drawn by love, the reality of people being together and loving one another is what we saw. And so here in Manitou Springs, that's how we live. We live together and we love one another. That doesn't mean that we are perfect. That doesn't mean that we love one another perfectly all the time, but we're learning. Disciples are learners. So as disciples who are learning, we're learning from the Son of God. We're actually learning from the Word. We're learning from one another. And we're learning to be quick to repent. We're learning to be quick to humble ourselves in the ways that we don't. And then we learn from our mistakes and from our overcomings. We learn how to love one another. And we learn to not go down the wrong roads. After we go down the wrong road a little bit, we're like, well, that was bad. I repent, not going down that road again. So we learn. We're in an environment where we can learn how to love one another. So we want to invite people into the fellowship that we found. And that's why we're here. We're not here to just profess some religious belief that we have. We're actually here, again, about relationships. And we believe we found the truth. We believe we found the truth because we found love and unity. We don't believe we found the truth because of any other belief or any other cause of belief. I can tell you that personally, I didn't believe in the Bible before I came to the community. The reason I believe in it now is because I see the Word lived out in a way that produces love and unity. So what I found was a people who were together, loving one another. And so that's how we live here. And so we run this Mate Factor. We're open 24 hours Sunday at noon. We open Sunday at noon and we're open 24 hours clear till Friday at 3 p.m. and we close for the Sabbath. And then we open again Sunday at noon.
The one thing that every person wonders at some point in their life is, well, why am I alive? What's the purpose for my life? What am I supposed to do? What am I good at? Right? So a lot of people put energy on perhaps things they're not good at. Or they find something they're good at and think that's what they're supposed to do in life. You know, like natural man's only left with so many options. But really, if man understood what we were created for, is really to serve the Creator. And the Creator created his creation so that his creation could serve the Creator. And so he equipped all of us with gifts and lacks that we would serve as part of a greater whole. Not just as individuals, because individuals, we don't have everything we need. But as a people, as a collective whole of those who have the same heart, the same mind, we're learning to be one. We're learning to be just like our Master Yahshua. And through that, we're actually fulfilling our created purpose and even to know who we are. That's why all the names we're given, all the names we have, is they have a meaning. Not just something that was picked out before we were born, but actually displays our character, who our brothers and sisters see us as. So that's really special. You don't truly find that anywhere else.
Yeah, you weren't born with the name Kepha, were you?
No.
I wasn't born with the name Kareem, but we got those names. Our friends gave us those names. Our friends gave us these names when they got to know us a little bit. Or that relationship, that depth of relationship had an opportunity to grow and develop. I mean, when you're in an environment where you're together all the time, you get to really know who someone is. In fact, we get to know one another in ways that we would never be able to know ourselves. Like, what I mean is, we become who we were created to be when we're in an environment where we're not living for ourselves. But when we're in an environment where we're living for our Creator, like Kepha was saying, and therefore for one another, we develop in a way where we actually become who we were created to be. But part of the truth that has set us free is understanding that no one was created to live for themselves. And that's really the direction the world has gone. And the world has gone the direction of people living for themselves, plain and simple. The world has lost the direction that the Creator had for us from the beginning, which we see that, you know, the Son of God summed up when he said that the first command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second command is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's really something that's written in the heart of man. That's like that's an eternal truth that's really inherent to every different background of people. I mean, there's different religions and different philosophies and mottos and creeds that all echo the same thing. The golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Even though it's written on the heart of man, it's really been lost on the earth today. And it's being reestablished once again. It's actually being restored on the earth, that there would be a place where people can genuinely, truly live for their Creator and for one another rather than themselves. So in that environment, we get to know one another in special ways. We actually develop into people that we had not been previously. How long were you in the community before you got the name Kepha?
Well, that's a bit of a story. I'd say in total, it was about a year and a half.
I mean, we just go by our name that we went by before we came until we get a new name. And it's part of the reality of leaving your old life behind. So this is part of what the Son of God was teaching his disciples. A big part of what he taught his disciples was how to leave their old life behind. Not just on a one-time thing, like, okay, I'm going to leave my old life behind and become a new creation, but on a daily basis to lay down one's life for their friends. That's what he said. No greater love has a man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's an amazing environment. You find an environment where friends are laying down their lives for one another. You know, not just on a one-time basis of, okay, so sure, you know, he went to the cross and he literally laid down his life for us. He literally died for us. And that's awesome. At the same time, he laid down his life continually for his friends. It's one thing to die for someone. Many people have died for someone. Many people have stepped in front of a speeding bullet. Many people have, you know, died for someone else. But to live for someone else, to day in, day out, moment to moment, deny yourself to live for someone else is love. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. So that's what he was teaching his disciples, how to lay down their lives for one another. There was a whole brand new culture that came forth from that, with ultimately thousands of disciples who were all living by that same spirit, that spirit of love that caused them to lay down their lives continually. It produced a culture of love and unity, and people were able to leave their lives behind and enter into it. They didn't just go to synagogue once a week. They didn't just go to church once a week. They left everything behind in order to live together and love one another. So a big part of what they had to leave behind, huge part of what they had to leave behind, was their identity, who they were. A big part of who you are is summed up in your name. We know Yahshua is the name of the Son of God, and Yahshua was the name that our Father gave him. So this opens up a whole realm. Because obviously we know that the world has taken the name Yahshua and now he's known as Jesus. And so we see the Jesus of the scriptures and we read the Bible and we see the name Jesus and we want to follow the Jesus of the scriptures. We know him as Yahshua. That was the name that his friends called him. That's the name his mother called him. That's the name that the angel called him when the angel appeared before Yahshua's father. The angel appeared before Yosef and said, do not fear, your betrothed, they weren't married yet, your betrothed, the woman that you're going to marry is going to bear a son, and his name will be Yahshua, for he will save a people from their sins. And so we know that Yahshua means God's salvation, or Yahweh's salvation, Yahweh, Shua, salvation, Yahshua was his name, Yahshua. is mighty and powerful to save us from the ways that we would live for ourselves. And that is emptiness. That is ultimately just the futility of living for yourself. And he calls people out of that and into a process of learning how to love just as he loved. So we give up our old life, we gave up our old name, our old identity, and to become a new creation, that we would no longer live for ourselves, but we would live for him, as it says, who took our place in death and rose again on our behalf, so that we could learn how to love just as he loved.
Now, it's just amazing to think how, if he was named Yahshua, how did they come up with the name Jesus? And then obviously it must have been a gradual transition over history. I mean, consider that he, you know, the Jews, they spoke Hebrew or Aramaic. And so, you know, the term Jesus, where does that come from?
Right. Well, that letter J, J is not a Hebrew sound or Aramaic. That came in later down the road. Okay, so the night is over. That's what we're calling this podcast. That's what we're calling our open forum. You might have received a card that said the night is over. The vision will be clear at the appointed time. The time is now. And then it references a prophecy in the book of Daniel. It says, in those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom to bring an end to all the kingdoms of this world and will itself endure forever. That's Daniel 2:44. It's paraphrased just a little bit to fit the card because that passage is vast. It's amazing what our Father is doing on the earth in these days. And he's been waiting until these days to do this, to raise up what we call the stone kingdom. The kingdom of Daniel 2:44, the kingdom of God that would come to earth as it is in heaven, that Yahshua taught his disciples to pray for. Okay, so you look in the book of Acts, Acts 2:44. Okay, so you got Daniel 2:44, Acts 2:44. All who believed were together and shared all things in common. So Acts 2:44 was the initial fulfillment of Daniel 2:44, where the God of heaven would set up a kingdom to bring an end to all the kingdoms of this world, but will itself endure forever. We see that even though in the first century they all lived together and shared all things in common, well here, Acts 4:32 really explains this. It says, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. It goes on to say that there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. So their radical life of love and unity proved to the world that they were disciples of the real Messiah, the one true Messiah. Their life of love and unity was a witness of that. That was an initial fulfillment of that prayer that we've heard so many times. Matthew 6:9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so that his kingdom would come and that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just that you would believe in him, not just that you would go to heaven when you die, but that his kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. And so Daniel 2:44 talks about that kingdom. In those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom to bring an end to all the kingdoms of this world and will itself endure forever. But we see that the kingdom, even though it was established in the first century by the Holy Spirit because of Yahshua's sacrifice, it did not bring an end to all of the kingdoms of this world, and it did not itself endure forever, because it was not in those days. And said in Daniel 2:44, in those days the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, in those days, and it will bring an end to all the kingdoms of this world and will itself endure forever. So the light came, and the light began to grow. Yahshua said in John 9:4-5, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he refers to himself as the light of the world. And he refers to a time when the light would go out and there would no longer be a light on the earth. In Matthew 5:14, he is speaking to his disciples when he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." So he was the light of the world. His disciples were to be the light of the world. The light of love and unity that the world saw in the first century when his spirit was given to a people who were living together, sharing everything they had, a life of love and unity, was a light to the world that the world could see what it looks like to live out our Father's will and purpose on the earth. His kingdom came to earth as it is in heaven. And his will was being done on earth as it is in heaven, that people would love one another. And their love and unity would be the proof that our Father's will and purpose was being done on the earth. But as it said in John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me. Night is coming. The night would come when no one could work. No one could do the deeds of love and unity that they were saved for. Night would come. And we're here to proclaim that night came and the light went out. And that explains the darkness that we've seen on the earth for the last 1900 years. In fact, his disciples, although they were the light of the world, they were a light that shined in the darkness, because the world was a very dark place at that time, and they were a light in the darkness. But in Isaiah 60, it describes that night would come to an end. And this is the reason that we're calling our podcast Night Is Over. It's the reason that we invite you to come and participate in this conversation, because we see that our Father is doing something on the earth to raise up that life of love and unity once again, where people can be called out of their own individual lives of selfishness and darkness and into a life of love and unity, the same life the first disciples lived. So it says, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth." Isaiah 60 verse 2 and 3. "Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising," so that the light would return to the earth, that day would come, daybreak would come to end the night, and that we've lived a long time in darkness, and many have called that darkness light. And although there have been many, many, many sincere people who've wanted to bring about the kingdom of God, it wasn't the time, because it says in Daniel 2:44 that it would happen in those days, the days of the 10 kings. So we see that we're embarking upon a time on the earth that the earth has never seen before. All of the prophecies of the scriptures, Matthew 24, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, many of the prophets of old are going to be fulfilled in our day. We're at the threshold of what's referred to as the time of the end. The days of those kings, when the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. It will bring an end to the kingdoms of this world and will itself endure forever. And it's going to be a marvelous light. It's going to be the same light of love and unity that the first disciples lived, but it's going to be seen to the ends of the earth. It's going to be a witness of love and unity lived out by people who are leaving their lives behind to live for the Son of God in a way that produces the reality of the Word in a people who are following him and keeping his Word. Because of the love that we've been shown, all we want to do is love in return with the same love that we've been shown.
And you know that people know that we are his disciples for the love that we have for one another. This again is why the night is over and the light is on the earth, though it is small. That's why we need you. You know, there are many other lost sheep, many other sincere ones that our Father is still yet to add to the fold. We know it has to happen to bring about the end. You know, how is there going to be a whole nation? How is the light going to spread to the ends of the earth with only so few? So that's why we're here, is to talk to those who've deeply considered their life and what it's worth, and if they were to see the pearl of great price, they would give up everything to lay hold of it.
That's right. So you might have received a card inviting you to the open forum. The card says, "Join our discussion." right now it's just the two of us, and we've had many people come, and we talk to people all the time at the Mate Factor. The Mate Factor is there so that people can come anytime, day or night, and talk about these things. Come by anytime, because that's why we're here. We're here to meet people and talk to people, and we know there's many others who are crying out the same way that we were, that there must be a reason why I'm alive. There must be a reason why things are the way they are on the earth. And I want to find where God is doing something on the earth. I want to find where there's a place where people are actually doing something on the earth. Hey, how's it going? So people are walking by right now, and we get a chance to wave at them and say hi, but they don't even know what's going on here yet. But we want to make an environment where people can come, and you know, this is what's on our heart. The open forum is an open forum. It's open topic to talk about what's on your heart. This is what's on our heart. And I know there's many other people who have the same heart one another. So we hope that you'll come by to our open forums. Wednesday at 7:30 is when it's scheduled right now. But of course, if you go to the website, we're going to keep an updated schedule of that and keep you posted with that. The time might change, the location might change. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how this is going to develop. We want to take every opportunity we can to meet anyone who simply desires the same kind of fellowship that we found here.
Amen.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up for this time. We're going to get this podcast up on the website. That's all for now. Good night.
When light is darkness and darkness light, who can see in the darkest night? Perfect love casts out all fear. Now we know that the end is near. And in these troubled times, love will prevail. Love never ends. Love never fails. In these troubled times, love will prevail. Times of refreshing, a time of much travail.